Arthur, brother and sister, Jesse. Nashville, Tennessee, June 27, 1904. Dear brother and sister Arthur, we have now been in the South several weeks. In many things we find great improvement since we were here before. The brethren in the publishing house are kept very busy and seem to be doing well. In the city of Nashville, they are doing their best to give treatments in rented rooms, and they have started the small sanitarium about 4 miles out from the city. This we visited. We were pleased with the physician and his wife. In Australia, we had become acquainted with the head nurse, and I consider her an excellent woman. We were much pleased with the neatness and order about the institution, although the facilities are meager. A more suitable place should be secured. We have been looking for a better location for the sanitarium and are much pleased with a property not far from the city. On this land, we find buildings erected, formerly used for a school, but furnished with plenty of good water and provided with facilities for sanitarium work. With the addition of a few conveniences, they can soon accommodate patients. This work should be begun as soon as possible. We were directed to one place, a very large and expensive mansion almost beyond description in its splendor. It was finished with mahogany and rosewood and elegantly furnished throughout. Its broad piazza would be an excellent place for the patients in wheelchairs, and the lofty trees surrounding the house were a delight to the eyes. For this building and 100 acres of land, $50,000 was asked. This was not more than the house cost, but we told the people who were offering it for sale that we could not invest so much in one place. While we should seek to make everything pleasant and desirable for the sick, yet we must not invest more than is necessary to meet the people where they are. We must provide for poor as well as wealthy patients, and both should be made to feel at home. For those who are living only for this world, this would be a very desirable property. Its beauty and splendor are far ahead of any mansion we have ever before visited. But we could not entertain the idea of paying the large price that was asked for it. We could not afford to invest large means in unnecessary display and thus rob the next enterprise for which money will be needed. We are to begin small, and though we may not at first provide all the facilities that are needed, yet we can build up as the Lord prospers our work. Our sanitarium work is very important, but our medical institutions should correspond with all that the name medical missionary signifies. Any magnificent display, such as was to be found in the building we have described, would misrepresent the character we should bear as Christ's medical missionary evangelists, who are seeking to reach the people in the highways and the byways with the present truth. We must not invest in one institution so large a sum of money that we shall be hindered in the work of establishing other institutions in places where they are needed. We are to set an example of economy. We are pilgrims and strangers, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. We were next driven in our son's carriage to look at a place about 9 miles from Nashville, where our brethren have found a desirable place for locating school buildings. We had heard of land that had been offered for sale at from $5 to $10 an acre, and with Brethren Sutherland and Megan, we made a trip up the river on the steamer Morning Star to look at this land. We were disappointed to find that the land could not be purchased for less than $40 or $50 an acre. A place of 400 acres near Nashville has been offered to us for $13,000. Included in this sale are a number of horses, cows, and other stock, carriages, and farming implements, also a house, that would be of use to the school. There are many beautiful cedar trees on the place. 50 acres of the land is under cultivation, and the crops are in a flourishing condition. Portions of this land can be sold to those connected with the school for dwelling houses. Judge Arthur, there is a great work to be done, and I do not see how it can ever be accomplished until those who love God realize the value that Christ has placed on the human soul. He gave himself for humanity. He laid aside his royal robe and kingly crown. He stepped down from his place of high authority in the heavens. He humbled himself, was born of humble parentage, and chose a life of poverty. When a lad, he toiled as a carpenter. For our sakes he became poor, that through his infinite sacrifice we might inherit eternal riches in the kingdom of God. Those who are converted will cease all their worldly scheming, their working with worldly lawyers, and like sensible men and women, will live with the eternal world in view.
Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies should be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Hebrews 10, verse 12-25. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. Verses 28-29. Brother Arthur, I am instructed that you have been under a cloud of perplexity, but in the trials that are yet to come, I want you to stand on the Lord's side. I have believed you to be a truly converted man. If for any reason you permit yourself to be brought into bondage, it will be because you are influenced by men, when your heart should be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Evil spirits are working upon the mind of Dr. Kellogg. He is a stranger to the sanctifying influence of the truth upon his heart. He is seeking to obtain every advantage possible to further his own ends. He is trying to lay off upon the General Conference heavy burdens. With bribes, he has sought to bind men to follow his plans and work his ways. It seems strange that so many will remain under the control of his willpower. The Lord Jesus calls upon you to take your stand decidedly, to honor God and not man. One of authority laid his hand upon your shoulder and said, Do you believe the words of the living God? You need to stand on a higher platform as a free man in Christ Jesus. Do not be bought or sold. You have wrought the will of a man who is linked up with evil angels, a man who has received instruction from the great apostate. Look unto Jesus. You are not amenable to Dr. Kellogg. Christ came to break every yoke. The messenger continued, Your soul is of value. Christ gave his life for you. Will you sell your soul for naught? Let your influence be such as to vindicate truth and righteousness, whatever may be the consequences. Your family needs such an influence in the home. Press close to the side of Christ, who has bought you with a price, and seek to help those who are entangled in the snare of the enemy, that they may go free. The Holy Spirit will vindicate such a work. Any unfairness done to the people of God is done to Christ in the person of his saints. You now see dimly, as through a mist, but you may receive clear eyesight if you will look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Will you break every fetter? Will you go free, determined to stand on vantage ground with God, that evil angels may not have the victory over you? God has said, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase." Ecclesiastes 5, verse 10. Christ loves you. Do not accept the sophistries that are to be found in Living Temple. Do not read it, nor believe the doctrines that are taught therein. Its teaching will lead you away from the water of life. No man should require a bribe to induce him to keep his position. We have seen enough of such work, enough of unfair dealing and seductive scheming. Keep your soul untainted. The messenger of God said to you, "Will you take hold of my strength and make peace with me?" See Isaiah 27, verse 5. Looking up with eyes filled with tears, you confessed that you had nearly been overcome with temptation, but you said, "I knew not that I was denying the truth and my Savior." I with my family must have a place in the kingdom that Christ has gone to prepare for us. My children must be members of the Lord's family.
Words of encouragement were then spoken, and the charge was given to Judge Arthur. Whatsoever the consequences, firmly resolve that you will engage in no action that is in any way unjust. Act with decision, and your future will be approved of God, and you will become more and more useful. Let the world behold your love and devotion to God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and may glorify your Father which is in heaven. Be ready to accept every Bible truth and hold the beginning of your confidence firm unto the end. Never be ashamed of your Savior who gave his life for you. He is the glory and the ornament of the universe. Glorify God and do his will, and you will know of the doctrine. Though you have been confused, the blindness will pass from your eyes.